it's all right, 'cause I'm saved by the bell. If the teacher pops a test, I know I'm in a mess, and my dog ate all my homework last night. Riding low on my chair, she won't know that I'm there. If I can hand it in tomorrow, it'll be all right. It's all right, 'cause I'm saved by the bell. I'm saved by the it's alright, 'cause I'm saved by the it's alright, 'cause I'm saved by the
And welcome back to the All-American Savage Show podcast. I am your host, John Burke. Josh is out of studio today, so it's going to be me jacking up all the controls here today. So deal with it. Deal with it. Hopefully everybody's doing good. I don't know why I chose Saved by the Bell theme. I figured why not flash it back a little bit to our childhoods, because God knows we need it. In this day and age, everything is so damn depressing. I want to apologize for being gone yesterday. I've been getting over this cough. I've had it since we got back from Turkey, and finally Sheila's like, you need to get on antibiotics and just get rid of it, because we keep passing it back and forth to each other. So now I'm on antibiotics, and I'm trying to get rid of this nonsense. So I want to apologize for the last two episodes where I'm just like hacking up a lung. I know it's not the best thing to listen to, but I did it because I love all of you. Not really. It's about the money. No. What money? Oh, my God. Got an invite from Thomas Massey's crew to come to a private fundraising event they've got here in Dallas. So I'm going to do that tomorrow, and hopefully, God willing, fingers crossed, we can get him on the show. How cool would that be to get Thomas Massey in studio to come on the show? Now, I don't know. I don't know if we can or can't. They said I can certainly pose it to him. I'm sure these guys get bombarded with requests everywhere they go. But maybe if you could do me a favor and go on Twitter and tweet him out, be like, hey, John Burke's going to ask you to come on the show. We want you on the show. I am not above social media peer pressure. I'm really not. I find that like you try and play fair and you try and play by the rules and do things the right way, and it just doesn't go anywhere. I've tried to have Alan West on the show. I email them, get friends, and it's like, I'll do it. And then they flake. And it just gets to the point where you get tired of asking people, because you get a lot of the, just flaking out. And it's, to me, it's disrespectful, and I don't like dealing with it. And that's kind of when we kind of do our own thing here, which is, it's been nice. But Thomas Massey, I'm not going to lie, probably my favorite congressman representative right now, because after Rand Paul basically fence rode during the DeSantis thing and came out as Never Nikki versus coming out as pro-DeSantis or pro-Trump, lost a lot of respect for him on that one. I know I'm not the only one, but Thomas Massey has been one of the very few that has maintained his core values and how he votes. And then he also explains and elaborates on as to why he votes the way he does. And I agree with a lot of it. In fact, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything I really disagree with him on, per se. I'm sure there's many things, but still. I'm excited to go meet him, get to take a picture with him, pick his brain on a few things. But the biggest thing I'd love to sit down and talk to him about is, you know, how he developed into his frame of thinking in regards to the Constitution. What were some of his biggest motivational, influential factors, things that he does to keep himself centered? You know, in the world of politics, I was listening to a thing. It was a fundraising space that my friend Reese did over on Twitter for Justin Amish. I always want to call him Amish, but I don't care. But Justin Amish. And Amish came out and was talking about how that when you first get to Congress, he remembered that he was wined and dined by Speaker McCarthy. They invite you to dinners. They invite you to certain events as long as you're voting in unison with the party. But then if you tend to go and do your own thing, he remembered McCarthy came up to him and said, I'm afraid I can't invite you to the dinner. And I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of the mind that if you think a dinner is going to sway my vote, you must have a very low opinion of me. You must think I'm very easily bought. It's two dinners. No, not really. I thought that was interesting. Now, Josh is not here today. His baby girl's sick, and he's going to be staying home with her. So he's doing good. But, when kids are sick, you got to be there. You got to be there. But hopefully we get Massey on the show. We appreciate everybody retweeting the show over on Twitter, all of our viewers and followers. God bless you. Glad you're here today. I'm not going to lie, man. There's not a lot of interesting news. I mean, I have a lot of things to cover here. We've got Tulsi Gabbard. We've got Zelensky. We've got J.K. Rowling. We've got Trump. We've got Biden, Wisconsin. We got DeSantis. We got a lot of things to cover, but nothing like really just sticks out at me. It's all so damn depressing. You keep looking at all this news and the clickbait titles, and it's so inundating with negativity that it's a wonder how more political commentators don't blow their brains out, to tell you the truth, because this is just, good Lord. Good Lord. But before we get into that, today's episode is brought to you by ShellShockCBD.com. Hey, right now, if you're listening and you're having problems with sleep, did you know that ShellShock has the rack out gummies that can actually help you with this? I'm not playing on this. Dead serious. If you can't sleep, we've got CBD melatonin gummies. These are one of our flagship products. These things are incredible. They have 15 milligrams of CBD and 5 milligrams of melatonin. No, there is no THC. You will not fail a drug test. It's impossible. It's impossible to fail. No one's ever failed it on one of our rack out gummies. And folks, did I fail to mention that these come with a 100% money-back guarantee? 100% money-back guarantee. If you go to shellshockcbd.com and you go to shop and CBD gummies, it's right there. These are a month's worth. I only take one gummy. It knocks me out and not only helps me fall asleep, but stay asleep. Achieve a great night's sleep, quality of sleep, improve your quality of life. Try our products. Again, we've got hundreds upon hundreds of amazing Google reviews of people that love the gummies. Now, folks, as I said before, if it doesn't work for you, 100% money back guarantee. You write us, you say, hey, didn't work. Fine, we'll refund your money. I'm that confident. Why? Because I want a customer for life. We're not going to lie to you to get a few bucks and then scam the next guy. No, these things actually work. Again, if you just read the comments on our reviews, you read the comments in the Rumble chat over on Kick, even on Twitter, I'd imagine, you see a lot of people out there saying, like, these things are incredible. They do work. So again, check them out. And if you could, do me a favor, hit the like button on the video and tap the share if you're watching from Twitter. Retweet it. We greatly appreciate all of our Twitter family. And also everybody over on Rumble. So that being said, let's get into the first article today. Governor DeSantis suspends Regina Hill as Orlando City Commissioner. DeSantis is just racking up the wins, racking up them. Every time you see DeSantis' name in the press, even on left-leaning MSM outlets, which is the majority of them, you don't really see them thrashing DeSantis that much. Outside of the whole don't say gay bill, things such as this. But DeSantis has been getting a lot of wins. Now, again, I have to be fair here. It's not just Ron. You got the Florida legislature. You got a bright red state. And it's doing very well. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis issued Executive Order 24-63 Monday, suspending City Commissioner for the City of Orlando, Regina Hill, in accordance with the Florida Constitution and Sections 1. Blah, blah, blah. On March 27th, Regina Hill was indicted in the Circuit Court of the 9th Judicial Circuit in and for Orange County on 3 counts of exploitation of elderly person or disabled person greater than $50,000. One count of scheme to defraud of $50,000 or more, one count of fraudulent use of personal identification over $100,000, and one count of mortgage fraud greater than $100,000. Following a Florida Department of Law Enforcement investigation, FDLE arrested Orlando District 5 Commissioner Regina Hill, 58, on charges including exploitation of the elderly, fraudulent use of personal identification, and mortgage fraud. The investigation began when the Office of the Attorney General forwarded a complaint from FDLE alleging that Hill was taking advantage of a 96-year-old elderly citizen. Hill first came in contact with the victim through her position as city commissioner after it was discovered that the victim was living in deplorable conditions. Wow. At first glance, Hill's actions appeared well-intentioned as she coordinated the cleanup of the victim's residence and other community resources. However, the investigation revealed that in just over a month's time, Hill was able to obtain power of attorney over the victim and financially exploit her for a period of approximately 3 years. Wow. Just wow. Does anything shock you anymore? Does anything shock you anymore? During the initial investigation, agents discovered that Hill fraudulently obtained a second power of attorney to purchase a home with the victim as the co-signer without the victim's knowledge or consent for a cost exceeding $400,000. Agents also learned that the victim owned a second residence that Hill took residence in. Hill used approximately $15,400 of the victim's money to renovate the residence she moved into without the victim's knowledge. Further investigative work revealed Hill also gained access to the elderly victim's personal checking, savings, and credit card accounts, spending over $100,000 of the victim's money for her own personal benefit. The public's trust in its leaders is essential. Officials who commit crimes against those they represent will be investigated and held accountable, says FDLE Orlando Special Agent in Charge John Vecchio. I commend our agents and partners whose work helps ensure the people of Central Florida are protected. And again, you know, I'm glad to see Ron push on this, but also, you know, a lot of credit goes out to the FDLE for finding this, making it happen. Good for them. Good for them. Can you imagine a publicly elected official to the, I mean, you make good money. You make good money. I don't understand the purpose behind this. I just don't. Like, can't you be satisfied? Isn't there a means of being satisfied when you make so much money? If you're making three figures and you're not worried where your next paycheck's coming from, why are you risking it? Why are you resorting to criminal acts and activity? You're eventually going to get found out. I know it's hard in this economy, especially Joe Biden's economy. I know it's very difficult. A lot of people, is it like 64, 68% of Americans paycheck to paycheck? They're living paycheck to paycheck. It's just... I also saw an article yesterday that said like 70-something percent of Americans could not afford an emergency expense of $1,000 or more. And that's, and it's not looking down on those Americans. It's saying that a lot of them don't have the ability to save that amount. Say, for example, a blowout tire that'll run you anywhere from $200 to $500. These things hurt. That's why you've got to pad yourself. But when you're living paycheck to paycheck, where's that extra income coming into? Or coming from, rather. A lot of people can't afford it. But hey, as long as these elected officials... Is it just me, or does it really seem like elected officials everywhere are really taking advantage? Like, really taking advantage? It's insane. Yeah. One thing I've noticed as of late that has been getting on my nerves is the exploitation of Christianity from the Trump administration. I don't like this. I don't like my politicians pushing religion because I honestly feel like they're full of crap. Trump says election day will be Christian visibility day. Now, politically, very smart move. Very, very smart move. You know, take advantage of the transgender nonsense the Biden administration pushed on March 31st, Easter. But again, we said on the show before that transgender day of visibility, we call it fruitcake day, has always been on March 31st for the last 9 to 10 years. I forget what it was. And if you actually look at the person responsible for Transgender Day of Visibility, this freak show looks like the Penguin. Have you noticed that? Like the transgender nonsense, the loony tunes of the LGBT, they all are not attractive. They're like social outcasts, societal rejects. Have you noticed? And they choose to be. This is not one of those like you can't sit here or you don't even go here. It's one of those things of like, you choose to be ostracized. You choose to be socially awkward. Like, this is on you. These are the patterns that you have applied to your life. And so as a result, you feel like you should be treated different and special. Part of me wishes we could go back to olden days where these people would just be exiled. Like, go die. Go away. Just go. You ruin everything. Everything. It's pathetic. Transgender Day of Visibility? Does anybody actually care about this? I'm being serious. Transgender sitting there and saying, we want to be seen. Why? Why do you care if you're seen? It's pathetic. But again, the right melted down because it fell on Easter. Now, if I was Biden, I mean, that's a landmine no matter which direction you take. It never should have been put on that day because they could see clearly in the future. If you check the calendar, like in 9 to 10 years, Easter's going to fall on that day. Probably not the smartest politically savvy move to make. But once again, the government steps on another landmine. And that's under Obama, I believe. So great job, Barack. But Trump says Election Day will be Christian Visibility Day. Former President Trump declared that the November election will be Christian Visibility Day in opposition to President Joe Biden's declaration of Transgender Day of Visibility on March 31st. Now, the thing that I find just insanely ironic about this, and hypocritical even, is that Trump has openly and continuously supported the trans community. He sits there and he flirts with the likes of Caitlyn Jenner. You allow trans to compete in your beauty pageants. Trump is a friend of the trans community. Now, I think we're hitting this pivotal moment in our society where the idea of live and let live is off the table now, because the trans community has not allowed for that to happen. Instead, it's, you know, just like with the LGBT, it started off with tolerance. It said, we just want tolerance. We want acceptance and equality. And people finally came around to it. Like, you know what? Fair enough. You know, land of the free, home of the brave, liberty, yada, 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 the whole shebang. Understood. And, you know, and I get it. I do get it. Like, if you are an American citizen, you should have the same rights afforded to you as everybody else. But the problem was, it didn't stop there. And it never stops there. Because then it went from, you know, the LGB to now we have the transgender nonsense, which is, it doesn't even fall into the realms of sexuality. That's gender nonsense, has nothing to do with sexuality. So when they attach themselves to the LGB, like, you really just drug the whole thing down. And it's made it to the point where it's no longer live and let live. It's like, now you have forced anyone that doesn't agree with you to now have to take the stand of saying, you're either for or against us. And if that's the case, then I'm against you. I am 100% against you. I am against mental disorder in the sense of, you need help. It should not be normalized. The transgender nonsense has gone off the rails of sanity to the point now where we see them, again, for the last how many years, trying to trans children. There is no such thing. I will say this to the day that I die. There's no such thing as a trans child. There are only abusive parents. And again, folks, you can call this anecdotal. I don't care. When you go back and you look at the parents of these trans children, it just makes perfect sense. You see the mental illness on their face. They are usually very unattractive, don't take care of themselves. They look like, again, they were bullied in school. And I think a lot of these people, what they're trying to do is draw attention to themselves and be the hero versus the victim. It's the same reason these kids in schools get convinced to go trans. It's like, oh, you're always picked on. But if I come out as trans, suddenly I'm brave and I'm a hero and everyone's going to love me, because no one's going to say anything against me. Because if they do, they're a transphobe. And I love the whole transphobic thing. You must be a transphobe. An irrational fear of trans people. What's to be afraid of, that you might shoot up a school? Perhaps. I don't know. Outside of that, I'm not afraid of you. I find you repulsive and disgusting, quite honestly. Your psychological issues are just insane to me. But the left and all their feelings, and people like Trump, you're not going to like this, but it's true. You acknowledge this and you say, oh, well, live and let live. That used to be what the parameters were. But now it's, you have to pick a side. And if I have to pick a side, then I'm standing against you. Not going to lie on that one. Not going to lie. Can you imagine going to school and having your children introduced to what transgenderism is? Seeing the photos and them attempting to normalize women chopping their breasts off, men chopping their genitals off, to simply skin graft some flesh from your forearm or your thigh to graft a fake penis that doesn't even do anything. It's just a fake appendage that just hangs there. It literally does nothing. If you've watched videos that we've shown on the show, because people need to understand this, you need to understand what it is so you know what you're standing against. Don't just be ignorant on this topic and say, I don't want to know, I just hate it. You need to understand where you're coming from or they're coming from. That way you can dissect the argument and debunk it. And I love the fact that there's no genders, yet they pick a gender. It doesn't make sense to me. That's the other thing about Democrats, by and large. There is no consistency in their hypocrisy. None. But as long as we wink and nod at these people, and as long as they politically agree with us, well, then we can accept them into our camp. You're letting cancer in. I don't care if it's Blair White. I don't care if it's Caitlyn Jenner. It doesn't matter. Even if they politically agree with us, fine. But the normalization of this is destroying the GOP, and the Overton window continues to shift more and more left. We've talked about this so many times. But now Trump is trying to use the Christian thing, and it's like, oh my God, dude. Let me ask you this. If you're listening to me right now, I'm genuinely asking you this question. Do you really think Trump is a Christian? I'm serious. Do you really think Trump is a Christian? I don't. The guy bangs porn stars, cheats on his wives, does the dumbest things ever.
I was on it like a bitch in heat, just grabbing by the pussy.
Well, here's the other thing, though. I don't care if our political leaders are Christian. I don't care. I care about how you vote. Now, some people seem to think that how you worship translates into how you vote. People like Speaker Mike Johnson, showcased that belief. And that guy's a massive failure. But Trump trying to sit there and use this as, we're going to get Christians coming out. But you're not a Christian, dude. But people are going to fall for this hook, line, and sinker. You're going to swallow this whole. You're going to swallow this whole. I remember when they quizzed Trump on, like, what's your favorite part of the Bible? I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. I mean, for me, like, right off the bat, oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, death, where is thy victory? There are many different passages of the Bible. I don't know. I mean, come on. But whatever. But again, all I'm simply trying to point out, though, is this is a political ploy. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for this. It'd be the same as Biden saying he's a Christian. It's like, really, dude? Like, really? You think, yeah, okay. I mean, here's the other thing, though. Who really knows? Only God knows the thoughts and intents of people's hearts. But by their actions, you'll know them. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Election Day, November 5th, will be the most important day in the history of our country. It will also be a Christian Visibility Day, the biggest turnout of Christians in the history of our country, the former president said and declared on his Truth Social account. Now, here's the thing, though. It's a smart political tactic to take because people, again, are going to fall for this. They're going to buy into this. It's that we have to unite as Christians to combat the left. And in a sense, they're not wrong. They're really not. It's just that I find that hilarious, though, that Trump is going to be the leader of this movement that he's not even a part of. And people are going to actually think that he is. And it's just going to be mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. We live in very, very interesting yet oddly weird times. That we have people that are non-Christian leading supposed Christian movements. It's just hilarious to me. It's hilarious. But either way, I saw that and I'm just like, here we go. I don't even buy that. I don't even buy that. But I did want to bring up this next article. I wanted to poll the chat on this one. And I think that we're all going to probably agree with this. This article comes to us from Breitbart and it says, exclusive. By 2-1, Americans say movies are worse today. The sycophantic entertainment media will blame anything and everything on Hollywood's ongoing box office collapse. These liars have all kinds of excuses. Streaming, unruly crowds, too much dew on the windshield. Hell, to this day, some still blame the COVID pandemic. This is written by John Nolte, another guy. I love his writing, but I'm going to have to disagree to an extent on this one as far as the streaming and unruly crowds. Those do play an effect to a degree. But I will say, though, that to me, it feels like, and this is just me. This is my opinion on this. It feels like Matt Damon did this one thing that I shared on the show before. He talked about how streaming has really destroyed box offices because, you know, a lot of the money that you'd get would be from opening premiere day and in the theaters. And then you get another bout of money coming in from the DVD sales and stuff like that. So now movies via streaming have to generate a lot more money. But my opinion, though, is it feels like the writing is dead. It feels like they are trying to remake so many different movies and the writing is atrocious. It's always, and usually it goes woke and it's not even interesting. You're not going to have really good dynamics. You're pushing an agenda. Even in the music industry, you know, everybody was talking about Beyonce, you know, saw this coming. I mean, Ray Charles saw this coming a mile away. Of course, Race gets interjected into the whole Beyonce trying to transition into the country genre with the one song about Texas. And, you know, I haven't even heard the song. I've heard the, this is Texas, rock, rock, rock. And then I just, I'm not interested. I think Beyonce has a lot of great hits. I think she's very good at what she does. She's got a very beautiful voice, but that's not country. And to me, country music comes from people that I genuinely would think have lived the life. They have the sound. They understand. Like, to me, country music, I'm a 90s country guy. George Strait, big names, Mark Chestnut, Tracy Byrd, Tracy Lawrence, Joe Diffie. My God. I mean, the list goes on. I think 90s country is probably one of the best eras of country ever. Because then country took on this people would want to say it evolved. I call it de-evolution, of where you started trying to interject hip-hop or the beats. And then you had your, cruising down a dirt road, and the guy starts trying to rap. It's like, what the hell is this? And I remember Mark Chestnut and Tracy Byrd did a song about that, about a good way to get on my bad side, cowboy rap. It's garbage. It's garbage. And it's just one of those things, like, keep the genre separate. But I understand some people want to create new genres. I do get the idea of that. But Beyonce's thing, I haven't listened to the song. It just doesn't resonate with me. But here's the thing, like, to each their own. If you do enjoy it, hey, great, go out. But where I saw it going, though, is it was going to be made a race issue. Well, people don't, because you see it in the comments, it was like, oh, because she's black. It's like, then explain Darius Rucker, Hootie and the Blowfish, transition to country, and he's amazing. Like, he actually got the country genre. Have you seen his remake of, Rock Me, Ramalaka, Old Medicine Crow Show. I forget the name of the song, actually. I think his rendition is better. It's not about race. It's about understanding the beginnings of the genre. It's a genre. Wagon Wheel. Thank you, Wagon Wheel. If you haven't heard his rendition, it's very good. And he's a very talented singer. He even released a Christmas album that was actually really, really good. Guy doesn't get enough credit. Very, very talented man from Hootie and the Blowfish. But no, but everybody wanted to interject race into it. It's like, it has nothing to do with race. It's that you're trying to merge hip-hop or pop with country. And it's like, once you do that, you've got some kind of mix of, I don't know what the hell that thing is. But you can't really act shocked when people don't like it. I mean, you might have people that are hip-hop fans and country fans, like, they might go for it. I don't like hip-hop. I call it the music of the peasants. I think it's garbage music. Sitting there mumble rapping, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't resonate with me at all. But the entertainment industry, it feels like it's just dying off. But the independent movies aren't getting enough press. The writing in these new movies, it's just, I mean, how many Avenger movies do we have now? How many Fast and Furious movies? Like, you beat this horse to death, you resurrect it, and you beat it again, you resurrect it, make it have children, beat it to death, beat the children to death, resurrect the children, beat them to death, resurrect the children, beat them to death, resurrect the grandparents, beat it to death. You do this over, and it's just garbage. Garbage. But, I don't get it. And I've said this before, I don't really look forward to anything anymore. There's no movies that I see that are about to be released, like, I'm excited, I want to go see this. I want to say the best one I had to look forward to was probably Man of Steel when Henry Cavill did this back in the, I forget when it was. And even then, I was kind of disappointed. I thought Man of Steel wasn't the best. Not the best. But I will say Dune 2 is probably the best movie I've seen in a very long time. I'm excited to see Dune 3. It does look very good. But yeah, I saw this article, and I feel like this probably resonates with a lot of people out there. They're just kind of like, I don't know. I feel like music is just crap. I've started listening to more operatic, more classical. I've been doing a lot of Spanish classic guitar. Today's stuff just, I mean, I was listening to country on the way to work today, and the music's just garbage. It's you know, they talk about, like, in a country song, you sing about a dirt road, a beer, girl, pickup truck, cowboy. It's the same shit. And I feel like nothing is just really resonates with the people anymore. It's like, it's tasteless. It doesn't, maybe it's just me. Maybe that's a John thing. But then again, I mean, you look at some of the stuff and it's like, I don't know, man. Music is just, it's devolved. It's not as good. And then again, movies, same. So, well, you remember the mayor we talked about? The black mayor, the female, that was just spending outrageous amounts of money, hired personal security, and dubbed, you know, the nation's worst mayor. Well, she's back in the news again. And it just, yeah. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. This comes to us from Fox News. This is, what was her name? They talk about it. They talk about it in the clip here. Dalton Mayor Henyard at a chaotic meeting. Let's take a listen to this because, oh my God, you can't make this stuff up.
The other big story tonight, maybe the most chaotic meeting yet in troubled South Suburban Dalton.
Nate Rogers sorting out another confrontation involving the mayor, the board, and the public. Nate.
Yeah, guys, this Board of Trustees meeting ended early tonight with four trustees actually walking out abruptly. The village clerk left early as well. First, I want to paint a picture of what all we were able to experience. It was very chaotic, and to be quite honest with you, frankly honest with you, it was even scary at times for those of us that were inside of the meeting. There were folks banging on the windows and doors of the village hall. I'm about 100 residents showed up at the meeting tonight, but only 42 residents were allowed inside. They had to walk through metal detectors and they were wanded down. Before I take you inside of the meeting, I want you to listen to what happened outside first.
Let us in!
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
But at least the majority of the people in Dalton should be able to think like the mayor does. She's scary. She's absolutely scary.
Why can't we get in our public building to have meetings? Why are meetings being canceled? Why can't we have transparency what's going on with our tax dollars?
Several residents calling on Dalton Mayor and Thornton Township Supervisor Tiffany Henyard to resign. She's been criticized for mismanaging village funds and dividing the Board of Trustees. The meeting comes amid a sexual harassment and retaliation complaint against Henyard. A former employee says she was sexually assaulted during a work trip in Las Vegas last year. The complaint says the employee was disoriented and unsure how she woke up inside a village trustee's hotel room. When she woke up about the former employee's claims, she was retaliated against, she says, and later fired. The FBI is now looking into village practices.
You know what happened in Vegas. You know what happened. And you should be addressing it, saying something to the residents about it.
I have cancer. Of course I do. Tiffany stole money from a cancer foundation. How dare you? How dare you steal? And I helped you with your campaign. How dare you steal from us? I had to buy my wigs. Are you going to reimburse me for the wigs that I've been spending my money on?
And they say that you're the worst mayor in America. I agree.
Now, no one is in custody and no charges have been filed following that former employee's complaint. Also, the trustee accused was absent from tonight's meeting. Residents said that trustee should resign as well. Residents also wore blue ribbons in support of victims of sexual abuse. Now, back out here live, just a little bit more on background.
Good
We've
Lord.
Learned that this was
like, you ever want to feel good about yourself? You look at articles like that, you're just like, good grief. Good grief. But at the same time, it's hard to feel bad. Like, you voted for this. I mean, what do you say to this? I mean, like, crybaby in the chest. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Shocked. You voted for it. I mean, come on. Now the FBI is getting involved. They've been involved, invested. Like she needs to go to jail. Political corruption. But here's the funny thing about this, folks. She's just the only one that's been caught. If you think many more in Congress aren't doing this, yeah. A lot of them are. A lot of them are. Interesting article here. Police not pressing charges after J.K. Rowling, for those that don't know, J.K. Rowling, author of Harry Potter series, dares them to arrest her for challenging hate speech law. Scotland. Scotland, of all places. Where are you going?
I'm going to pick a fight. The Lord says he can get me out of this mess, but I'm pretty sure I'm fucked.
Braveheart, right? Scotland. Bagpipes, the Highlands, kilts, haggis, fires, claymore swords,
Rob Roy McGregor.
Hate speech laws. Yeah. Real thing, folks. This is how pathetic our world has become by the enabling behavior of weak-minded individuals. Oh, God, I wish we could go back 10 years. 10 years was so much better than what we live in now. This ZZA, them, the gender nonsense, the trans wackadoodles, and then hate speech. It's hate speech. I even saw one post on Facebook where this trans person got upset because people were giving her laugh reactions in a group. They said, why aren't the mods removing those that are laughing at me? For a community that wants so much visibility, you melt down so very easily from laugh react emojis, no less. Not making this up, folks. Rowling promised, if they go after any woman for similar rhetoric, I'll repeat that woman's words and they can charge us both. J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter book series, challenged Scotland's new hate speech law on Monday, and police have declared they will not prosecute the author. Scotland's new Hate Crime and Public Order Act was activated on April 1st. I mean, that figures. That's definitely got to be one of those April Fool's jokes, right? Hate speech laws? No, it's free speech. Like, can get it in your head, folks, because it's trying to make its way here to America. Get it in your head that some people don't like the things that you have to say, and they say, that's hate speech. Well, who regulates the hate speech? Who regulates this? Who determines what's hate and what's not? One man's trash, another man's treasure. One man's freaking hate speech is another man's religion. And you automatically know that they will go after Christians for this. They will. Hate speech. We live in a world so weak that hate speech triggers you. I'm just, you know, COVID didn't take enough of these panty waists out. It didn't. We need a purge. Society, I really feel, needs a purge. The weakness needs to be eradicated. Because what it's doing is it's sinking everything. It's pathetic. It is pathetic. The text of the bill, originally introduced years before, warns against acts that stir up hatred against a group of persons. Now, we know when they say group of persons, they're talking about the LGBTQ nonsense. But it's not as if they don't bring the hate on themselves 9 times out of 10. Reading to children, drag shows for children, mutilating children. Yeah, you deserve it. You do deserve it. And it should continue, and we should bring back bullying. In fact, well, I'll leave it at that. But still, you know where I'm going with it. It's getting to the point where people are going to have to resort to alternative methods to get their points across. Because I'm sorry, a grown man dressed as a woman, parading around, and then wanting to read to children. My question is, why do you want to read to children? Why do you want to? We know the answer to that. You're trying to recruit. You're trying to indoctrinate. You're grooming. You're pervert degenerates. Deserving of something that I can't say right here. Because I think we're streaming on Twitter and I don't want to get banned. God, this society is so morally bankrupt. And I'm not one of those people that sits there and says you have to live by my moral code of ethics. I don't like doing that. But I think we can universally agree on the idea that if you're trying to recruit children into your alphabet mafia of degeneracy and mental illness, some action should be taken. It's gotten to the point where it's just too far. Too far. Stir up hatred against a group of persons. But I guarantee if people are stirring up hate towards Christians, they won't say a word. No hate speech there. No, it's freedom of speech. Oh, okay. They won't touch Islam. They won't touch the gay community. But I guarantee straight, heterosexual, white people, yes, they'll come after. They're realistically putting in laws to go after you. Because when do you see these laws being written and then applied to anyone outside of these minority groups? It usually doesn't. I've never seen it apply. Have you? Has anybody? Rumble, Twitter? Has anybody seen any of these laws go into effect and then protect Christians, per se? Let's just say Christians off the top of our... Has anybody seen laws, anti-hate speech laws being used to protect Christians? American Taliban, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. It's getting to that point. Ricky the Subs guy says, I have an uncle who told me in the 60s Republicans would just knock out hippies out when they said stupid shit. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Drawing Your Mom says, if anything, the laws protect grooming gangs. I agree. The text, the bill, groups of persons or of certain protected characteristics. Certain protected characteristics, but who's doing the protecting? The government? It's not the government's job. The government chooses who they get to protect, but listen to this. Certain protected characteristics, including age, disability, religion, or in the case of a social or cultural group, perceived religious affiliation, sexual orientation, transgender identity, and variations in sex characteristics. The maximum penalty is a 7-year jail sentence. Oh, it'd be time to start shooting. It'd be time. Start burning it all down. Yanking them out, tar and feather them, get rid of them. That's ridiculous. But nothing in there, nothing in there that's going to protect white Christians. Nothing. Rowling, who lives in Scotland's capital city of Edinburgh, and Edinburgh is a beautiful city. I've been there. It is gorgeous. Amazing. Loved it. I would go back. I spent Christmas there. I would go back again. It's beautiful. Or New Year's. She lives in Scotland, Edinburgh, began an April Fool's Day social media thread by listing multiple biologically male criminals who claim to be transgender just prior to being sentenced for various horrific crimes, expressing mock relief their avowed gender identities were being respected. She then switched her rhetoric and declared, only kidding. Obviously, the people mentioned in the above tweets aren't women at all, but men, every last one of them. After slamming Scotland's new hate speech bill directly, Rowling declared, if what I've written here qualifies an offense under the terms of the new act, I look forward to being arrested when I return to the birthplace of the Scottish Enlightenment. The BBC reported on Tuesday afternoon that social media comments made by J.K. Rowling challenging Scotland's new hate crime law are not being treated as criminal, Police Scotland has said. Rowling hailed the decision, declaring, I hope every woman in Scotland who wishes to speak up for the reality and importance of biological sex will be reassured by this announcement, and I trust that all women, irrespective of profile or financial means, will be treated equally under the law. Oh, I would not bet on that. I would not bet on that one bet. After one commenter speculated the local police are not prosecuting Rowling because she has massive wealth to fight such charges in court, Rowling vowed, if they go after any woman for simply calling a man, I'll repeat that woman's words and they can charge us both. Scotland's new hate speech law has sent shockwaves across Scotland and the entire UK. The Telegraph reported that former deputy leader of the Scottish National Party, Jim Shillers, launched a campaign to resist the Hate Crime Act and campaigned for its repeal. Folks, I'm telling you, these freaks, these fruitcakes, the degeneracy is spreading and it's only going to get worse. Today, on their own admission, Police Scotland will translate itself from a service into a force for one particular purpose, the pursuit of people who speak their minds. So, folks, you're not allowed to disagree anymore. Like, think about it. That's hate speech. Say, like, you're a hardcore Christian. Like, you are devout. And somebody says, you know, what do you think of transgenderism? Like, I think it's an abomination, which I do. I think it goes against the laws of God and nature. Well, in Scotland, saying that, posting that, whatever, could get me 7 years in prison. Folks, this is real. This is not fake. This is real. And if you think they're not trying to bring this nonsense into America, I've got news for you. It's already here. They're trying their damnedest. Thank God for a Supreme Court. I mean, how many years ago was it when the trans and the gays tried to get the gay baker, the baker in Colorado to bake the gay cake? He should be forced. No, he shouldn't. You don't like it, go somewhere else. Wanted to force their beliefs on you. isn't it always, it's kind of hilarious to me, ironically, disgustingly hilarious, that in terms of respect, respect is only shown one way when it comes to LGBT. You must respect them, but they don't have to respect you. So if I walk into a bakery that the owner is a Christian and says, hey, you know, we are a Christian bakery. If you want to tie your religion to your business, that's your deal. I don't personally. I think it's a bad business move, but whatever. But if somebody chooses to, which is the First Amendment right, why is it that those homosexuals can walk in there and disrespect the baker by saying, you must do this? How is that fair? How is that right? Respectful, respect is shown two ways. They can go in there and say, hey, we're gay, we want a gay wedding case. I respectfully have to decline that. I don't believe in that. But here's someplace else you can go. And they can respectfully say, thank you, we appreciate it, and we will go somewhere else. It's just that simple. But instead, people want to force their beliefs onto others by means of the law. And folks, these elections have consequences. And what we're seeing right now, especially in Scotland and places like, case in point. Case in point. Tommy 62 on Rumble, 100%. He says, when was the last time a homosexual went into a Muslim bakery and wanted a gay cake? You don't see it. Probably because the Muslim baker would probably just tell him to get the hell out and like throw shoes and stuff at him. They never screw with the Muslims. Why? Why not? And I think it's kind of antithetical to what Christian beliefs are in regards to, you know, turn the other cheek. But Muslims don't care. They'll go at you with violence. They'll beat you down. They don't give a shit. I've never actually seen a Muslim bakery, now that I think about it. I've never seen one. I've, truth be told, I never really even looked for one. But I think you're 100% right. When you have these Muslim types of businesses, you don't see this LGBTQ nonsense going after them. It's always Christians. It's always whites. It's always straights. And it's getting to a point where we're getting fed up and we're going to start fighting back. It's getting ridiculous. I think people by and large are seeing this now. And it's past the point of no return. It's past the point of no return. And he says, and you wonder why people are voting Trump. Trump is cool with the trans community. So yes, I do wonder why people vote for Trump. You thought you had me on that one. I'm consistent in my beliefs. You're not going to get me backpedaling. I've got the proof. I've got the receipts. You don't. I do. How many times are you going to sit there and say, you wonder? No, I don't wonder. I know why. We're in a position right now where we are given choices that are straight garbage. Straight garbage. Hot trash is what this is. Hot garbage. We've got Joe Biden, progressive Democrat. You got RFK, progressive Democrat, and you've got Trump, moderate Democrat-ish. We've got three Democrats. I don't give a fuck what any of you have to say about that. That's the truth. He's not a conservative, and I've been down this road. But, hey, it is what it is. And then I read all the headlines, and I was like, if you don't vote for Trump, you want 4 more years of Biden. What did 4 years of Trump get us? Still waiting on all that winning. All right, let's move on. Good news is, though, Scottish leader, woke fail. Leftist Scottish leader receives more hate speech complaints than J.K. Rowling as police swamped with reports. Can you imagine calling the police? Calling the police to report a hate speech crime?
911, what's your emergency?
I was told by some random person on a subway that I look fat. That's hilarious to me. John, what are your thoughts on anti-Semitism hate speech laws from Christy Noem and Greg Abbott? What do you think I think about that? If you watch the show long enough, number one, I'm going to need to see the laws. But number two, I'm in firm disagreement with him. Hey, free speech is free speech. Racism is free speech. Anti-Semitism is free speech. I don't want to do business with you, but that's your right. I don't agree with it. It falls into the same idea. I talked to this one lady on Twitter, and she talked about that, you know, marijuana shouldn't be legal, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, you know, she said, like, but my liberty. I don't use phrases like but my liberty in a satirical way or manner. But my liberty rings true to many liberty constitutionalist-based people out there. Yes, my liberty says that I can do what I want, when I want, how I want. That is the very definition, in my opinion, of liberty. Freedom. Choice. Freedom to choose. But then they says, but hey, but my liberty, but use it how it should be used. So then what makes you the arbiter of liberty? It blows my mind on this that people can sit there and say, marijuana shouldn't be legalized. When you go home and you drink a six-pack and shred your liver, drive intoxicated, murder somebody behind the wheel. But yes, marijuana is the most dangerous thing out there. It's incredible to me. So these people, they're not really liberty-based. They want liberty applied to the ways they want it applied. So while I disagree with anti-Semitism, while I disagree with racism, I still agree with your right to be whatever you want to be. That is your right as an American. I don't sit there and think that I or anybody else or the government, for that matter, should be the arbiters of what is free speech. What is no, that is not the role of a government. That is not what a government is for. But that's the problem. The government continues to expand and expand and expand, and they start interjecting themselves into your life here and there. And like I said so many times before, when the government interjects itself into your life, you will not get them out. How many gun laws do we see repealed? None. Hardly any at the federal level. None. But we go in there wanting to negotiate with leftists and that you can't. You do not negotiate with terrorists. And that's what they are. They're constitutional terrorists. Liberty is liberty is liberty. Liberty, liberty, liberty. I just totally made that up. You're right. Welcome. Not made it up, but yeah. What people are secretly wanting, and quite honestly, it feels like they want a monarchy. They want one king, one queen, and they call the shots. And you better hope they align with your views, because if they don't, you're fucked. And guess what? They're in for life. Do you want that? That's why I don't understand the English. God save the king. Fuck the king. I don't want a king. I want to be left the hell alone. To blast racist music while smoking weed and shooting my machine guns and doing whatever because I can. That's freedom. And I love how these so-called Christians talk about God wants us free, and then you turn around and you try to enforce religious fundamentalism on people saying, well, freedom, but, no, there's no but. There is no but. People can do as they see fit. The homosexual couple, you know, they can go in there and try and force the baker. No, but guess what? Due to freedom, you can go to, and here's the thing, on the show years ago, I called multiple bakeries. Do you remember this? Longtime listener to the show. When this thing was first kicking off, I called multiple bakeries around where that baker was located, and almost every single one of them, actually every single one of them said, yes, we'll make a gay cake. They had options. But instead, they wanted to try and strip somebody's liberty away and force their homosexuality on that person. That's not liberty. That's forced subjugation. I'm not for that. I don't agree with that. Let people choose. And I'm going to say something that's going to piss you off here, folks. The fentanyl crisis in America. The fentanyl crisis in America. Well, my son, he did some coke and it was laced with some fentanyl and it killed him. Your son made a choice. It was a stupid choice and it cost him his life. It sucks. I don't agree with it. But you're not going to get anything outside of that from me. You're just not. You know, or you knew what the snake was when you picked it up. And then when it bites you and you turn around shocked and you say, oh my God, the snake bit me. What did you think it was? Oh my God, it was laced with fentanyl. Well, you bought it from a less than reputable dealer. Those are the freaking chances you take. Maybe don't do it. Maybe don't do it. And, you know, what people don't seem to understand is this is what's going to determine where people get their stuff from. And that's why ultimately, and this is what people just don't get, the laws and regulations that have made drugs illegal, that's what's killing more people. And people don't get it. People don't get it. Because folks, put it this way, and I've given this example so many times. Let's just take CBD. That's my thing here. CBD, Delta 8, Delta 9, okay? So the thing is, you could go get Delta 8, Delta 9 from literally anybody off the street if you wanted to. I'm pretty sure many of you out there listening to me right now could probably go score an 8 ball if you wanted. You probably go get a dime bag of weed, too. You probably know somebody. It's not a big deal. You can get it, okay? But when the government makes it illegal, well, then you're not going to get the standards that come with things that are legal. Say, for example, Delta 8, Delta 9 that we sell. Well, ours is third-party tested. We show you the proof from the lab that we have it tested at to show this is what's in you. You don't have to worry about getting fentanyl with us because everything is tested. Now, legally, do we have to? Nope. And it should stay that way. Why? Because you, the consumer, are going to say, hey, where's the tests for this? And if you don't have a test, I'm not going to purchase from you. I'm going to go to store B. They've got the tests. Well, guess what? If I want to be successful, I better match that. And the same goes with drugs. Sounds crazy, I know, but it's true. So the more government regulations, the more they make things illegal, the more dangerous they make it. Ergo, guns, drugs. Government screws the pooch every single time. Well, John, what about the good they do? Just like the ATF, where's the metric for the bad they do? Well, there isn't one because nobody keeps track of that. But you can see all the good, but there's no metric for the bad. Just look at the CDC. Look at the FDA. You see the metrics of good. Well, now that we had COVID, now you still, how many of you now see the metrics of bad the CDC and the FDA have led us to? Now you see it firsthand, right? Because before, it was not even, now it's like, holy shit, they got a lot of people killed. They got a lot of people killed for this bullshit vaccine. That, by the way, according to hate speech laws on YouTube, got me banned over there. And guess who turned out to be right? And I never said the vaccine was dangerous. I just said, I'm not going to get it. I don't trust it. Freedom to choose. Oh, no, you shouldn't be allowed to say that because that's dangerous. It's medical misinformation. And yet YouTube is partially responsible for a lot of the deaths out there. It's crazy to me. It's crazy. Obadiah makes a good point. He says, quality control is not the same as regulation. There can be two. No, true. But quality control is a completely voluntarily based thing in a business. I want my QC. I want to QC the shit out of my stuff to make sure it actually works. But I don't want government enforcement. So who's QCing these illegal drugs? Nobody, because you can't. It's illegal. But if it was legal, well, then you can. Did I lose you, folks? You still tuned in? You still like me? I'm an asshole, I know. I'm pro-liberty through and through. No, I don't believe in selling drugs to kids. Look, I do believe that in certain societies, and this is in a very well-functioning society, you're going to have laws. You are going to have laws, and you're going to have regulations. But minimalist at best. No, you should not be able to sell drugs. Here's the thing. The conundrum that we face as 50 individual yet United States is as follows. We have a federal government that is in conflict with many different states on many different topics pertaining to guns, drugs, things such as this. I feel that at the federal level, they should stay the fuck out of it. Quite honestly, they should stay the fuck out of it. Let states decide. What's legal in California might not be legal in Texas. So what does that mean? You know, if you care that much about it, move to Texas. People move to Colorado and Florida for weed. It's not outlandish. It's not out of the realm of common sense, is it? Makes sense to me. People come to Texas because of the gun freedom. Makes sense to me. But when you get federal regulation coming in there, now you've got some friction points between state and fed. Marijuana being a big one. The stories I could tell you on this, it's insane. Just mind-blowing. Now, let's get back on track. I'll keep ranting all day. Left the Scottish leader receives more hate speech complaints than J.K. Rowling as police swamp with report. Good. Good. Let the people call in the cops and swarm them with bullshit. Make their lives hell. Chaos erupted this week surrounding the introduction of a new draconian speech law in Scotland as police received nearly 4,000 complaints within the first 2 days of it being in place, with far-left First Minister Humza Yousaf reportedly receiving more complaints than Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling over transgenderism critiques. You gotta love that. You've got
4,000 Karens. And I think a lot of them were trolling, to tell you the truth. But that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Absolutely. Swarm the phone lines. Now, what sucks is that victims are going to be penalized. It sucks for them. But this is the chaos that more government regulation creates. Former General Secretary of the Scottish Police Federation, Callum Steele, revealed on Wednesday that Police Scotland received a hate speech report on an average of every 2 minutes. Every 2 minutes. That is crazy. That's a bunch of tattletales. You call me a fat. Really? I'd be in jail already, tell you the truth. Since the Hate Crime and Public Order Act came in force on Monday, LBC reports. This, he said, equated to around 3,800 complaints in the first 2 days of the controversial new law, which criminalizes the vaguely worded stirring up hatred. Don't you love how that is so vague? There's not direct reference to what you can and cannot. It's left open to interpretation. And that, my friends, is the most dangerous of them all. It's the most dangerous of them all. It feels like you're living in the age of where terms of services of whatever platform you're using are very vague, and it's up to the moderators of Facebook and Instagram, fascist, communist fuckbook, to determine whether or not you violated their terms of services that are vaguely written. I'm right on this. Lived through it. We've all lived through this. Show of hands, one in the chat. How many of you have been banned on a platform? Press one in the chat. If you have been banned on any platform, suspended, banned, press one. I'm very curious on this. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm betting almost every single one of you mofos has been banned. Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, but I agree. Drink and smoke as often as you want. Just don't drive, Rob. And I feel like that is a very common sense law we can all agree to. It's like, look, you should not be able to drink and drive. You should not be able to smoke and drive. I can agree with that because then you jeopardize other people, which has been proven. I agree with that. I think that's very fair and balanced. I think constitutional carry, that's very fair and balanced. You have a right to own a firearm. You have a right to carry your firearm wherever you want to go. But a business does have the right to say that you cannot carry your firearm on my premises. I agree with that, which means I'm probably not going to shop there. You see how that works? It's fair. It's fair and balanced. It's kind of like, you know, cause and effect. I served my time in Facebook jail. John. Yeah. Dude, almost everybody's pressing one. Almost everybody. Reddit has a lot of lefties. Yeah, I agree with that. All right, folks, got to take a commercial break real quick. Got a really cool thing here. World of Warships. Have you seen this? Talked about this before. World of Warships. WorldofWarships.com. With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the seas in World of Warships. Weather effects make each battle unique and change the tactics of the battle. With each ship being hyper accurate to the real thing, each battle will make you feel like you are there. Each week, there is something new to experience with a steady cadence of new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours on end. World of Warships has a large, active community which brings people of all types together. Join clans to compete in competitive game modes and talk with fellow wargamers on our official Discord or discuss the game on our forum. Since launch, they have added over 500 new ships across 10 different nations. Weather effects and armor viewer modes enhance the realism on high seas. Steady cadence of missions and events to add to the excitement. World of Warships currently has millions of players. World of Warships' official launch was on September 17th of 2015. Been around for a while. And don't forget, if you use code BRAVO, you get access to some pretty cool stuff out there. So make sure you check it out. And again, it takes an average of 6 months to create a ship in-game entirely from scratch. The following steps are involved. Checking to see a specific ship could work for the game. Collecting reference materials for the blueprints and such, things such as this. They put a lot of effort into this game, folks. Again, you can go to this link right here. I'm going to share in the chat. It is HTTPS, na.wargaming.net/registration. I'm done with that. I'm not even going to say it. Here's the link. Here's the link in the chat. Go check it out. Again, use code Bravo. Get access to some really good gear. Again, this is World of Warships. A four-week cycle is delivering new content, offers updates, so it's not a dead game. You'll find that a lot of these great games out there, the content developers and stuff like that, they kind of give up on them, and they become dead games. This one isn't. They continue to add new ships, new playable characters, stuff like events. I'm reading this thing right. New content's released every month, actually. Whether it's new ships, in-game nations, cosmetics, or even ship classes, you can always count on enjoying fresh gameplay experiences in the World of Warships. Stunning 12v12 arenas. Oh, that's just what we need. Yeah, this could be like PUBG. Anybody play this? It's actually really good. I played it once or twice. Warships is fun as hell. Been playing that for a long time. Seadraw Bond. How often do you play it? Just curious on that. It's a good game. I've played it once or twice. I love those signs that say no guns allowed. I agree. Yeah. World of Warships. Go check it out again. Use code Bravo. Save yourself some money, I think. Get you access to some really cool stuff. But check that out. Zelensky's in the news. Now, World of Tanks. I've seen that one as well. Zelensky's back in the news. And apparently, the same guy that talked about that Ukraine has only lost roughly 30,000 soldiers, not that many from what he says. Well, his actions say something completely different. This article is coming to us now. It says Zelensky, or coming to us from The Independent, says Zelensky finally calls for younger soldiers in bid to plug shortfall in troops. Ukraine has announced it lowered the military conscription age in an effort to replenish its depleted ranks after more than 2 years of war. The new mobilization law from 27 to 25 came into force a day after Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky signed it. Ukraine's parliament, the Verkhovna Rada, passed it last year. It was not immediately clear why Zelensky took so long to sign the measure into law. He didn't make any public comment about it, and officials did not say how many new soldiers the country expected to gain or for which units. Conscription has been a sensitive matter in Ukraine for many months amid a growing shortage of infantry on top of severe ammunition shortfall that has handed Russia the battlefield initiative. Russia's own problems with manpower and planning have so far prevented it from taking full advantage of its edge. The average age of Ukrainian soldiers, like those on the Russian side, is around 40, military analysts say. Some Ukrainians worry that taking young adults out of the workforce will backfire by further harming the war-ravaged economy, but the problem reportedly has become acute as Kyiv grids for an expected summer of offensive by the Kremlin's forces. Zelensky has rarely mentioned the mobilization issue, and Parliament has held long and inconclusive debates about it in recent months. Last December, Zelensky said Ukraine's military wanted to mobilize up to 500,000 more troops, but he said he had asked the top brass to spell out the details on what is a very sensitive matter before deciding to grant their wish. Such major mobilization could cause Ukraine the equivalent of $13.4 billion, aka America. It's going to cost America. Now, the reason I found this article interesting is that, you know, Zelensky says Ukrainian forces have not lost that many. Yes, you have. Yes, yes, you absolutely have. And the fact that you're conscripting proves that. Your all-volunteer force is gone. Now, folks, how many of you saw the videos that have been happening over the last 2 years where they're literally grabbing up people off the streets and throwing them into the meat grinder, if you will? I mean, I've shared these videos. Chasing Death, he listens over on Instagram. He posts a lot of these videos. You should go check them out. Of people, of these Ukrainian MPs grabbing these random people and then taking them off to be conscripted. I'm curious why we don't see American people supporting this over there fighting. Well, here's the thing. Like, Ukraine doesn't even have to do that. Conscript the Americans in favor of this and send them to go fight. You wanted to fight this war. You wanted to fund this war. Grab a gun and go do it. Go fight the Russians. Why not? I love these people. It's always okay when it's other people's kids. It's other people's money. As long as it's not theirs, then they're in favor of it. I mean, come on. Go fight. That's one way to plus up your ranks. Conscript the Americans supporting this. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Zelensky's a liar. This whole thing doesn't concern us. We need to stay out of it. But again, we're not. We're sending him money. More American money. And again, you see the what was it, how much sent to Israel? Now, again, I don't hate Israel, but I don't want to support them fiscally. I don't want to support them militarily. It's not our business. It's not our fight. But if I'm forced in the position of choosing, I'm going with the Jews over the Muslims. I just am. Don't care if that offends. That's what I'm going to do. I fought the Muslims. I know what these people are like. I can deal with the Jews. Muslims, not so much. Not so much. That's probably going to offend a lot of people, but I really don't care. Tulsi Gabbard. I didn't know this, but apparently RFK had asked Tulsi Gabbard to be his running mate. Now, let me put it this way. Had RFK not picked the wacko leftist that he did, I would still think RFK wasn't as far left as he clearly showed his hand to be. I think Tulsi is actually smart. She turned him down. She said no. Very, very smart move on her part. Now, there is still speculation that she could be Trump's VP tap in November. Not the worst. Now, here's the thing. Tulsi, former Democrat, I don't know where she stands on the Second Amendment anymore because she's never really done anything legislatively to support it. She's come out in favor of more socialist-based programs. Now she's leaning more towards the right, but I've not seen anything of her back in office, and she's clearly not right now, but when it mattered, she didn't. Now that she's out, she's pushing more right. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But Tulsi Gabbard reportedly rejected RFK Jr.'s VP offer. Former Hawaii rep Tulsi Gabbard reportedly turned down running as independent president again. Folks, when any MSM outlet says independent with RFK, it's not independent in the sense of him being politically independent. He's independent because he's not going to win the DNC nomination. If he went against Biden, he'd lose, okay? So he had to run independent. But he's still a leftist. Now, I do see conservatives on Twitter. You know, you vote for who you want to vote for. I get it. You know, you're picking the turd out of the diarrhea at this point. I'm not envious. It sucks. It really does. But when they sit there and, you know, I saw a lot of the DeSantis people, and I'm not pulling punches here, and I don't care. I don't have friends on in real life. I got enough friends. I saw a lot of the DeSantis people who I feel like DeSantis is a far more conservative choice, far more libertarian choice. So he does have some authoritarian overtones that I don't care for, but I can deal with those. You're not going to get a politician that passes a purity test 100%. But that being said, though, I felt like with DeSantis, you know what you're getting to a degree. With people like RFK, you know, I'd seen the clips where he wanted people prosecuted for denying climate change, members of Congress. I'd seen him call the NRA, a terrorist organization. When you make extravagant, outlandish claims like this, that tells me that you are not living in reality and you are perpetuating nonsense narratives to appease leftist people like yourself. So when I saw a lot of the DeSantis people, I shouldn't say a lot, but when I saw some DeSantis people then shift to RFK, which I'm not against, but when you then try and promote RFK as if he's the best thing since sliced bread, you're full of shit. You're just full of shit. I don't care who that offends. You're full of shit. RFK is by no means anywhere close to being a conservative. He's not. RFK adopted the Beto positioning on handguns or firearms when he said, hell yeah, we're coming for your AR-15s, your AK-47s, and then he runs in Texas again. I'm not interested in affecting the Second Amendment. Oh, well, when you were running for president, you were. What changed? RFK's the same. How many times do you have to get dick slapped in the face before you wake up and say, I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy was the archetype of this. Like, he says everything that I want to hear. Well, he's a politician. That's what they're supposed to do. They get paid to lie to you. Especially when they're running. They're going to make you every promise under the book. So what are you supposed to go do? Look at their history. If they're a politician, look at their record of voting. Vivek Ramaswamy is a big pharma bro. He's got authoritarian tendencies. That guy is dangerous. Oh, he's the most libertarian. No, he's not. No, he's not. It's insanity to me. People that I once respected, I've lost all respect for. that push the Vivek Ramaswamy nonsense. Called that one a mile away. He's like, he's not going to get it. Ripping off Obama in his first freaking debate speech. There's a funny little guy with a funny last, blah, blah, blah. Okay, dude. Okay, whatever. Big Pharma wanted a vaccine database. Wants to, you know, wanted to ban TikTok, moderate use. Dude, it's just, yeah, no, not at all. And I found so many people on Twitter that I just lost a lot of respect for. It's like, I'm okay with an age ban for social media. It's not the government's role. It is not the government's role. That's parental roles. Well, here's the thing. Does it brief well? Of course it does. Of course it does. Do I think teenagers should be on social media? Absolutely not. No, I do not. I sincerely don't. I don't think kids should have TikTok. I don't think kids should even have a phone, tell you the truth. But the problem is, though, once, as I said at the beginning of the show, you let the government into your life, you do not get them out. They don't go. They don't leave. They're like squatters. So once you open that door with good intentions, bro, they're there for life. And any other decision they want to make that impacts you directly, they're going to make. And you're not going to stop it because you already opened the door and said north and south. Yep, oh, yep, yep, sounds good. Briefs, what? Yep, 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 yep. That's parental roles. That's parental responsibilities. Well, John, what if the parents are failing? Well, then guess what? Sometimes society has to fail. That's the way it goes. There's no get out of jail free cards when it comes to the collapse of a society. If society as a whole forsakes morality and accepts degeneracy, then it is what it is, and it deserves to fail. America is on, it's circling the toilet hole right now. That's what it's doing. And until people wake the hell up and stop buying into this nonsense, it's mind-blowing to me. It really is. I don't want more government until they say something that kind of resonates with me. It's like, oh, okay, regulate me harder, daddy. Fucking hypocrites. You're not actual constitutionality. You're not constitutional focused people. Your views change with the wind. It shifts. Well, I don't want them regulating the Second Amendment because that's my right. But it's okay for them to come in and say what I can and cannot do with a phone. Explain that nonsense because it doesn't fucking make sense to me. It just doesn't. This is not a hard thing to understand. It's really not. People make it hard because I think a lot of people just don't get it. And last, most certainly not least, which this is not surprising, former ESPN host says her Biden interview was entirely scripted by network executives. Every single question. Now, does this really surprise anybody? Let's listen in right here.
Mr. President, thank you for being here as we get set for a wonderful day in sports. Opening day for America's national pastime.
This was about 2 months after he took office. That was an interesting experience in its own right because it was so structured and I was told, you will say every word that we write out. You will not deviate from the script and go to the word. Like every single question was scripted, gone over dozens of times by many executives.
Now, does this really surprise anybody? Since day one, it's been the emperor has no clothes. Joe Biden is not all there. Again, who are his handlers? You got Karine Jean-Pierre tweeting out from her own account, faking to the president, then deleting it by accident. We're living in an age where the president is not here. And with that being said, who are our other options to vote for? And I'm just kind of like, dude, the system is just garbage right now. It's garbage. It's garbage. It's all popularity, money-driven contest is what it is. But to sit there and say it was all scripted, you don't say. You don't say. This guy, he's out of it. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Say what? Okay, that doesn't make any sense, but okay. I'm just waiting for Joe Biden to drop a hard end bomb. He's going to do it. He's going to do it before he gets out of office. I'm serious. All right, it does it for today's episode, folks. We appreciate you being here. Thank you for tuning in today. You guys are amazing. Again, I'm going to be seeing Thomas Massey tomorrow and at a private fundraising event. Hopefully, we can get him on the show. Again, tweet him out. Tell him to go on John Burke's show. You can tell him you're going to meet John Burke tomorrow. He's the dude with the douchebag with a mustache. And then tell him to go be on the show. If we can get Thomas Massey in studio, how awesome would that be? I'm not even kidding. How awesome would that be? That'd be great. Thomas Massey, go do it. Go do it right now. What are you waiting for? All right, folks, we'll be back here tomorrow at the same time, same channel. Appreciate you being here, tuning in. Don't forget to share the show, retweet it, and subscribe over on Rumble. And also make sure you can download the podcast, All American Savage Show, wherever podcasts are downloaded, roughly 2 to 3 hours after the show airs live. We rip it, we pull the audio, put it up on Podbean, and blast it out to iTunes, iHeartRadio, you name it, it's on there. So until next time, you stay savage, America.